Welcome to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, a space for people with open hearts and minds who are on a journey of expanding consciousness. My name is Marta, and I will be sharing with you my conscious healing journey. Additionally, with my best friend Anna, we'll be exploring the great conscious transformation happening in the world. Join us on an adventure of learning the new ways of being and building bridges across the many concepts that truly need connection as we are building a better world for all beings. And let's learn together how to embrace our humanity with all of its ups and downs so that we can have as good life as possible. Hello there, dear listeners. Welcome to Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast. My name is Marta, and today we will be exploring a very, very important topic for me, and it is how to find out what is the truth, what is true for me, and how do I figure out, for example, what's the right thing for me to do. This is a very important topic to me because I have found it very difficult to make decisions and to be sure what is the truth for me. And yeah, especially the older I am and the more inputs there are, the more information there is available, it becomes more and more difficult to find out what is actually true in it. And for almost any study, you can find a counter study. And even for situations such as having data presented to you, so I have seen that at work, and having colleagues using the same data to make a presentation, which should be the most clear, fact-based input you can get for decision-making, I have seen the same data being used and very different conclusions being made and used for very different purposes. So this has led me to how do you actually really know what is true? And being a person that was growing up in the 80s or born in the 80s and growing up in the 80s in Poland, where there was a high level of censorship, we were trained that you can't necessarily trust that which is said in the TV, because TV was the main source of information at that point. So I was raised in an environment where you had to be skeptical and you have to find a way to figure out what is true. I know that in countries where people trust more, the government, the official sources of media, it's different. However, I think a big thing happened in the world around the pandemic and around the different storylines that have been presented in the media, and the amount of interpretations of the same story and the misuse of photos and videos, where even in the official news channels they would tell a story about things happening in Italy, and then some journalists would find out that the footage that was used there was from a completely different country from a few years before. So it started to be really, really difficult. I think not started. Actually, I do believe it has been getting more and more difficult in time for me to really know what is the truth. And I started to explore more and more what I would say is human guidance system, and how can I feel into myself and what is true for me now. Because the thing that I have also learned over time is that the truth expands and that it's an evolutionary process. And even if you look strictly at science, you can really see that we are all the time finding out more and the truth expands. And one of the key examples here is how everyone used to believe and took it as a fact and truth that the sun is evolving around the earth. And then we had a huge scientific discovery of Earth evolving around the sun, which completely revolutionized how we perceive it. And these things happen. So we know that we might consider something as very fact-based and very true, and then simply more information comes in, more research comes in, and we find out something quite different. We also know that there are challenges with research, that it is quite difficult to make research objective, and that we also need to look at factors as who is paying for a research, who's benefiting from a research, as well as who's running the research. And it is run by humans, and humans have ego, and humans have confirmation biases, and might not be capable of pure neutrality and objectivity, especially if the research is based on assumptions, unverified assumptions, which may already be wrong, right? So if you base something on assumptions that are untrue, so if you base your research with assumption that Earth is flat, or that the Earth is evolving around the sun, or the sun is evolving around the Earth, and then we find out it's differently, then the whole research may not be valid at all. So I started to explore, especially for like a very personal use, what is true for me? What is the right thing for me to do now? How do I make decisions in life, small, medium, and big? That topic is really fascinating, as well as like really, really necessary. I do have friends for whom it's quite easy to know what is true for them. They either are quite black and white in terms of they know this is right, this is wrong, or they have a quick access to answers for them. As far as I have gotten in my research, I believe that there are three main centers of intelligence in a human guidance system. And one of them is the instinct. It's based around our stomach. It's like the gut feeling that we have. The second one is based around our heart. And this is more what we could refer to as intuition. And the third one is placed around our mind, which is our intellect. So this is the three main ones. I know there are conversations about more centers of intelligence. However, let's begin there. There are these three ones. And I want to make it very clear that from my perspective, none of them is better than the other, and it does not serve us to use only one of them or primarily use one of them. I think they each have their good appliances, as well as the ability to use all of them will make our truth most expansive, our ability to make decisions more holistic. So I believe that in our modern Western world, we are most trained in the use of intellect, in the use of the mind. And as I mentioned already to begin with, I started to notice that whatever we refer to as intellectual or fact-based or even data-based, I started to notice shortcomings especially different people using these facts or data for very different purposes. And here a great example is political parties. If there are two political parties that are trying to win a political race, they will take exactly the same fact, situation, circumstance, and they were interpreted in fairly different ways. So it's kind of difficult to base on the works of mind. I also noticed that getting advice on what is true from my mind, it is also kind of like asking a bit of a mad person. So I noticed that I can get different answers depending on the day. That if I ask my mind a question whether I should move out of Denmark, it will have an opinion of absolutely yes. I can't master the language. It's the weather in the winter time is so rough. It's dark, windy, and cold. Absolutely, I should get the hell out of here as soon as possible. On another day, my mind will provide me an answer. No, Denmark is one of the safest countries. And, you know, look at the data. For many years, it has been one of the happiest countries in the world. On yet another occasion, my mind will tell me, yeah, I can see it. It could be good for you to move out of Denmark, but look at your kids. Your kids consider Denmark as their home country, and you have been living here for 16 years, and you have indeed built home in terms of a physical location, as well as friends that become like family. On yet another occasion, it will say, yes, the kids feel at home here, but they have no access to their grandparents. And by living here in Denmark, they don't have such a great possibility like feeling at home in one specific country where more family lives, so where they could be together with their grandparents and learn about their roots. So it is a little bit like asking slightly a crazy person, which can have many different opinions and can shift from yes and no and good and bad and true and not true fairly swiftly. So using the mind in figuring out what is true for me and what is the right thing for me to do, it has its limitations. I do believe that mind is great in terms of use for analyzing data and doing things like pros and cons. So definitely a very, very good idea it is to use your mind in this process. However, there is something more than that. It is not sufficient. So if we move to the heart, listening to your feelings, listening to your intuition, and this is where the topics become more and more unclear, and the information is coming from this part of our consciousness that is more intangible and seen. And here again, some people have a clear access to their intuition and they can really feel into what is the truth for them and what is the right thing for them to do. Other people might find it harder. And I think that this is connected with our ability to be present in our bodies. So those one of us who are trained in being in our minds and not so much in our bodies, we might have a hard time connecting with that intuition, because I do believe that intuition comes through the body. Might be different for different people. This is how it is for me. And yet again, here it can be confusing because we talk about feeling something. We feel if something is the right thing for us or not. And we know that feelings can also change and shift. They can fluctuate, you know. Feelings are temporary. So that is also a little bit tricky to be able to discern whether the answer is coming from that access to the higher intelligence, access to something more than our individual human existence here on planet Earth? Or is it based on our feelings in a given moment? And the challenge with that also for me has been around, I might sit down and be able to clear my mind and receive an answer which feels quite clear, but for a very short period of time, and then the mind takes over and starts analyzing, or the fear kicks in. So here it could be quite tricky as well. And then the third area of intelligence is the instinctual based. So all the information that is built into our brains, into our DNA, and that's a very, very useful center to use in, for example, dangerous situations. If you are walking alone in the dark, it might be a good idea to listen to your instinct in these situations. However, for making the decisions in your life, that sort of instinct that is based on our reptile brain, based on past information built into our DNA, might have its limitations. Although I do also acknowledge that that center of intelligence is not only analyzing and basing on the past, it is possible to tap into different level than the mind. It is possible to feel into a danger. We might not see someone, but we might already sense. So there is that aspect of being able to tap into the unseen through the instinctual part. So yeah, it has its limitations, and at the same time, it's very valuable to be able to use it. So analyzing those three centers and knowing that, great, I know I can use the three centers, still might be quite difficult to figure out, all right, then, what is the truth for me then? What is the right thing for me to do? How do I proceed from here? So I started to learn about how to use the heart, how to use the ability to tap into intuition. And the first way I learned it was around heart expansion or heart contraction. So this requires being able to tap into your body, like really land in your body to the level where you can feel subtle differences. So if you ask yourself a question, and the question should be asked in a clear way, and you feel expansion around your heart, in your chest, that means a yes. And if you feel contraction, that means a no. I believe that in order to be able to use that, you really have to practice it, and you really have to be able to tap into the subtleties and to be able to catch that moment of expansion or contraction before the fear kicks in. So that is quite something, to be able to be so present in your body to be able to read that kind of messaging. Then I heard about, and for a long time explored, muscle testing or kinesthetic testing, a part of kinesiology. So I read a lot about it in the book called Emotion Code. It's a great book and has a great methodology described for clearing your emotions and using muscle testing to doing that. I really recommend that book. It can also be used in healing, and then the body code in even more physical level healing. However, muscle testing provides you an access to your body. So there is a statement that I have heard many times: your body will tell you the truth. So the heart expansion and contraction is one way of the body telling you the truth. And the other way is the use of kinesiology. And it's a little bit difficult to explain muscle testing in an audio. I really recommend, I'll have some links ready for you if it speaks to you, to explore it further and maybe see it on a video more than just listening about it. You can use your fingers, you can use your hands, you can use your entire body to ask yourself yes and no questions as clear as possible, and then allowing your body to provide the answer. So I think the most easy way to explain it in an audio is if you stand still as neutral as possible in your body and ask yourself a yes and no question, and your body starts moving front, that means a yes. If it starts moving to the back, it means no. And you can ask that question for things related to your health, for example. Is it good for me to drink coffee? Is it good for me to have sugar? And it can be used in the emotion code. It's used quite a lot. Is my stomachache related to emotion? And if you get a yes answer, then you can access a whole table to figure out what sort of emotion might be causing your stomachache. And then you can use a magnet to clear that emotion. If that sounds in any way interesting, I really recommend looking into the emotion code. So this is, again, your body can tell you the truth. I do have close people around me who have that very clear communication with their bodies, and they really can use muscle testing and they get very clear answers. Even though I have been training that skill and honing that skill, I am still not entirely sure if I really am capable of letting go of control that much so that my body can really move freely. I do believe that one of my biggest limitations in life is the very high level of control that is coming from my mind. So I do get some doubt when I am using muscle testing. And that is a trouble, because as soon as you have the doubt, it's difficult to use the area. However, I truly recommend looking into it. I know people who benefit from it really, really clearly and a lot. So yeah, that's another way, very well respected way to be able to clear your mind and allow for that higher intelligence to give you the answer, is to use meditation. So maybe I can add a little bit here. I believe that there is higher intelligence. So when I take my mind, my intellect, and connect it with my heart, my intuition, I can connect intelligence with intuition and tap into wisdom. That's how I feel it. That's how I feel wisdom in my system. This is where I can tap into the use of both, as well as I do believe that there is something bigger than me. There is something larger, much more intelligent. So I do believe in higher intelligence that has access to much more information, knowledge, wisdom, sensing, overviewing, etc. So for me, being able to tap into that higher intelligence is very, very important. So I believe that this higher intelligence or divine intelligence is that source which creates the whole being on the planet Earth. So all those highly intelligent processes in nature and the amazing intelligence of animal kingdom and plant kingdom, and how trees can communicate between each other, how humans can communicate with the animal kingdom and with the plant kingdom, that is all part of that higher intelligence. So coming back to meditation. So meditation has been used like forever and in so many different cultures as that way to clear your mind from that madman that is seeing once this and once that and overthinking and overanalyzing and being altered by different types of biases and filters and programming and so on. So meditation is that space where you can hopefully allow yourself to let go of control of the mind and allow for the higher intelligence, for the wisdom, for that pure stream of consciousness to get through you. From the previous episodes, you might know that meditation is a skill that I have been practicing for over 7 years, and it is very challenging for me to let go of control, clear my mind, and allow for it to happen, especially when I am standing still. So my meditative states are easier accessed if I go for a walk, and especially when I am in nature. So for me, access to my truth and access to what is true for me has been a lot in nature. So doing some quite good walking to get into that meditative state, and then sitting down, placing my back on the tree, that is that space where I can have more access for the truth to come my way. So that is probably what works for me best. And also connecting that with breath work. Sometimes my whole nervous system gets very overwhelmed. My mind gets very, very highly over productive. And in that space, it's almost impossible to make even the simplest decisions. And that's where breath work, that's where calming down my entire nervous system and mind can work pretty well. And recently I started to explore one tool that I have been very, very skeptical about, And in my life, I have already learned several times that those things I am most skeptical about and I reject and resist and find stupid are often something that can actually work pretty well for me. And that tool is pendulum. So pendulum, it can be different objects shaped as pendulum. It could be wood, it could be crystals, it could be metals. There are different types of pendulums that you can have on a chain, and you can use them with the intention of the pendulum tapping into your energy. So we know already that there is a lot of energy in our energy systems, right? We are electromagnetic in essence. We have a lot of energies that are streaming through our bodies. And we know that we project our energies also outside of our bodies as auras. And now with the development in science, we can measure that indeed there is energy around us that comes from our energy systems. So pendulum can tap into that energy, and with specific movements, it can give you yes and no answers when you ask it. Here again, it's very, very important to ask your questions in a clear way and maybe also ask them from different perspectives. This is a new thing for me, so I am still learning about it, because at the end of the day, what I do believe is you have the answers for yourself. You already have access to those answers. The answers are always within you. And any tool that you're using is a way to access that truth which is already within you. And for some of us, the access will be through our intellect. For some of us, the access will be through our intuition. For some of us, through our very physical bodies. And for example, muscle testing. It could be so many different ways. At the end of the day, the answer is within us. And then we can use different ways to access that answer. So this is a new way which I am exploring, and I am seeing, can I actually use it as a very good tool for finding out what is a yes and no for me, what is true for me, and what is the right thing for me to do. The last tool that I would like to mention are divination cards or oracle cards. I find them to be a really fun and entertaining feedback from my own higher self. So oracle cards are decks of cards. You can find different ones that will speak to you. There could be, for example, animal spirit cards. It could be rose cards. It could be earth warriors. There are different themes in those cards, and you can find the ones that speak to you. They are very often really beautiful. So they are a really fun, entertaining, beautiful way to get that feedback from yourself in terms of what is true for me and what is the right thing for me to do. I do see a lot of limitations in the use of oracle cards in that kind of level of guidance. I use them quite often. I really, really like them. I really, really like to use them. And I find it really entertaining and beautiful. However, I rarely get a clear yes and no. So it's more for having a conversation with myself. It's more, okay, if I ask a question and I get a card, what does it actually tell me? What more can I tap into myself when I am reading that or looking at the card, which usually is a graphic? And then there is also some description in a book. What more can it tell me? So I use it more for exploration rather than any form of ultimate truth. So this is what I wanted to share with you for today, the different tools that can be there for you in your process of exploring what is true for you. And I actually would like to add one more, one that I am actually using a lot. And probably that's the most trustworthy for me. It is writing. So when I am writing, I use writing in many different ways. I use it as writing almost like a clearing. So writing it all out so that I can clear my mind. So this is where I allow the madman inside of me and the different perspectives to come out. So that really, really works very well with clearing my mind. It's like if I put it down on paper, my mind can worry less. I use writing very often to help manage my mind. And for example, what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst case scenario and the best case scenario, and for pros and cons, as well as for creating different mind maps and for creating different options. So there are, in the past, together with Anna, we had this amazing, really, really cool adventure with a podcast and blog called You've Got 5 Options. So I often allow myself to describe the different options that I can choose and the pros and cons or the worst and best case scenarios for those options. So at the end of the day, I am using the writing a lot. And that is for me a way to access wisdom, because in this way, I allow my intellect, my mind to work quite a lot. However, I also eventually get access to some stream of intuition or some stream of higher consciousness. And I get into that holistic overview. And very often that is the way I end up making those bigger decisions, those bigger life decisions. How are you doing that? What works for you, my dear friend? I would love to hear from you. And I hope that this is useful and that there is something for you that you can use for yourself. Thank you so much for today. Bye.